Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
This special called meeting subject is attorney-client relationship, specifically regarding litigation and representation. Members, who would like to begin the discussion?
Does the mayor need to recuse herself from this meeting?
And on the same note, if you want to have a public discussion with the attorney of record related to this specific lawsuit, I would say that that discussion would be attorney-client privileged until the city council votes to waive attorney-client privilege. So I'd ask, before this discussion occurs, the city council affirmatively waive attorney-client privilege. And that would include the transcript of the Shade meeting last Monday, so we can have a fully transparent conversation about this lawsuit.
And we're waiting.
Council members, I've been advised by my independent counsel that if we waive attorney-client privilege, it can never be restored. So I've been advised against recommending that.
And I would say that that advice is incorrect.
Correct.
I'd make a motion to waive attorney-client privilege and release transcripts and be able to have this discussion tonight.
Second.
Okay, so we're in awkward territory here. We had a special called meeting of the Milton City Council in order to talk about litigation and attorney representation, and it was not clear to anybody, and you'll see that even more so as we play through the clips, it was not clear to anybody exactly what was and what was not on the agenda. Also, it didn't help that the agenda was blank and the backup material was blank, and so nobody knew what anything was. But the background here is the lawsuit that the city had filed in order to get Heather Lindsay to produce her public records that she had at first said don't exist and now said, you know, I don't have to, they're not public records. The judge says, yes, they are. And she continues to fight this with her lawyers and not release them and not release them. The more she fights, the more you wonder, what's in there? Exactly. Remember, they had a Shade meeting that would, you know, that's the first time, I think, ever in the city of Milton you've had a Shade meeting. But as Robert Leake, city council member, pointed out, also the first time that they have sued the mayor. Also, the first time a mayor has refused to put out a public record. So there's a lot of firsts, you know, a lot of first ofs going on here. And so the city council changed in November, and now they voted to drop the lawsuit. And so the law firm that Alex Andrade is a part of, they said, we can't ask you to drop this lawsuit because it's a law that you're obligated to produce your public records. You're asking us to push for something illegal. We have to recuse ourselves and take ourselves off the lawsuit. The judge has still not permitted that. There was a deadline last week of Heather to produce the record. She has not. She keeps fighting that. And so here we are. And in this situation, Alex is still officially the attorney of record for the lawsuit. But if he says, as he says, if you're going to talk about the lawsuit, then you probably ought to waive attorney-client privilege because it's me and you're here and it's weird. Even though Heather is no longer chair in the meeting, I think she's actually left the room. But it's a public meeting, so she can still watch in real time. She wasn't in the Shade meeting because she's the target of the litigation. I know there's a lot going on, but I'm trying to, you know, make sure everybody knows what happened last week, you know, on the most recent episode. So, and then Marilyn Farrow says, well, I've got my own attorney, secret attorney, for this secret meeting, this ambiguous meeting, secret attorney for the ambiguous meeting. And my secret attorney says, well, we got to be careful about waiving attorney-client privilege because we'll never get it back. What? That's not how that works, okay? So we continue. Larry McKee, one of the new city council members, the one of the new block that actually voted against dropping the lawsuit, to his credit.
And Councilwoman Farrow, exactly what did your council advise, that everything would be open if we waive it, or just these specific things that we've been talking about?
I was advised to not waive attorney-client privilege regarding the lawsuit and to not release the transcript for the Shade meeting until the case is dismissed.
Also, have to wonder what's in the Shade meeting, like, because that also is not a public record until the lawsuit is officially dismissed, which will take Alex and his folks getting off the lawsuit, or the mayor producing her public records, because that would be the end of the lawsuit, too. Anyway, Casey Powell, one of the, he got reelected without opposition, and he's one of the other side on this issue.
And I, if I could, can make a comment, I understand that, but it seems like that there was a vote made by this council saying they wanted to dismiss the lawsuit. So other than semantics, I don't understand the reason to keep it as attorney-client privilege at this point.
Yeah, if the decision to drop the lawsuit has already been made, what he's saying is we don't need to hide the reasoning behind that decision because we've already made that decision. Why do we need to keep it a shade? And by the way, the reason you keep a shade meeting is because you don't want to reveal your legal strategy to the other side. And the other side in this case is the mayor. Well, they're doing what the mayor wants by dropping the lawsuit. Why do they have to hide the reasoning behind doing what the mayor wants from the mayor? Because they want to hide it from us, clearly. The question is why? And we'll get back into this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even 98 headed east of Navarre Park is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So Casey Powell has moved to open up the shade meeting and to waive attorney-client privilege so they can even have this conversation totally in the sunshine. And then Gavin Hawthorne seconded, and other people are raising questions. And then you have this weird legal theory that if you waive attorney-client privilege on something, then you lose it for everything, which is definitely not the case.
Understanding the conversation y'all want to have tonight, my recommendation is y'all have to waive attorney-client privilege tonight to have that transparent conversation. And again, to be fully transparent, I believe y'all should waive affirmatively tonight any discussion that occurred last Monday night at the Shade meeting so we can actually have a fully transparent conversation without being barred by the attorney-client privilege requirement.
In other words, if you want to have as a discussion point in this meeting of 100% ambiguity, this is Mike Cusack champing on the mic while we're waiting for a decision. I'm just talking because they're not doing anything. They're all mulling over what Alex has said, which is you really ought to waive attorney-client privilege. Any case, if they want to talk about who to hire as the new attorney, that's one thing. But if they want to talk about the lawsuit, that's a different thing. We're still waiting because they're all, like, scared to talk at this point.
We're ready to vote on that, Molly.
This is the vote on opening up the privilege and shade meeting.
Public comment has already...
And then...
Persons to appear was public
Somebody
comment.
Wants to talk.
Well, but
and
this is like
and at
something
the point that we're ready to vote. Now you want to make a public comment. That's kind
I
of
do because it's on something different.
Pam Mitchell, again, leader, I designate as leader of the Pitchfork Posse. I don't think they have an actual leader, but, you know, she's the most vocal representative of the group.
If it's about the city's representation, then you don't have to waive anything to discuss the city's representation.
Correct. By the way, correct. I mean, I'm not, no sarcasm. She's 100% correct about that.
I honestly can't answer that question. I didn't call the meeting, and what you see for the materials is the same that I got. So I have no idea what the discussion is going to entail, which is why I made my motion. I'm not sure who initiated the meeting or what the reasoning behind it was. So I was just trying to make sure it's open for discussion because I have no clue any more than you do.
I got called to this meeting, and I don't know why. Nobody knows why. There's no details on why. We have the meeting of utter ambiguity, which we can't figure out what it is we're supposed to do, because if it's talking about who to hire as an attorney, then the mayor didn't need to leave, which she has done, and they don't have to waive attorney-client privilege or open up the shade meeting. But if they are going to talk about the lawsuit, then the mayor did need to leave, and they do need to waive privilege, and they probably properly ought to open up the discussion about the shade meeting. So he's confused even about why they're here, right? I don't understand what is the point of all this. Marilyn Farrow.
I'm the one who requested the special meeting.
Ah, there we go. But in order to have a special meeting, you'd have to have a majority council agree with you. So what did they think they were voting to agree to?
One is a motion that I would like to, with your consensus, to file with the court regarding the plaintiff's response to counsel for plaintiff's motion to withdraw.
So Alex's firm has requested off the case and said they can't proceed with dropping the lawsuit because it's illegal. It'd be a violation of ethics for them to facilitate avoiding compliance with the records laws. And Marilyn Farrow says, well, why don't we just file something straight with the court? Can't we go around the attorney? And Alex is like, you can't.
If I may, the only person that can file anything in the lawsuit on behalf of the city is the city's attorney.
That's me.
You have to be a member of the Florida Bar.
You're not.
And you have to be admitted as representing the city by the court.
You haven't been.
To file anything on behalf of the city.
So you can't.
That's why we had to ask the court permission to be relieved of the obligation of representing the city in this case. We don't even have a say in the matter.
So she wants to be like a pro se, like self-represent. Like the council is just going to represent themselves to the court, which is not allowed. And he's trying to explain to them, as their attorney, who's trying to get off the case, that you can't go around me and you can only work through an attorney, no matter what your super secret attorney tells you, if there's one that actually exists. I kind of feel like it's the Canadian girlfriend version of the attorney, but okay, here we go.
So no one but me, unfortunately, can file anything on behalf of the city until the court relieves me of the obligation of representing you and admits another attorney to represent you. We've already said we cannot file a dismissal until the mayor complies with the court order. The second the mayor complies with the court order, we're happy to dismiss the lawsuit.
Oh, so there's daylight. If she just produced her records, then we'd be good. We could, all this would go away. Oh, she doesn't want to produce her. Dang, so close. We're so close.
I've been advised that as Mayor Pro Tem, with the council's vote to submit this motion in objection to the plaintiff's response regarding the motion to withdraw, that it is something that a citizen can do, a council person can do.
It's not.
Who are you advised by? That's the question that keeps popping in my head.
My personal attorney.
Who? Who gave you this terrible advice that Alex is trying to explain? You literally cannot follow according to the rules of the legal system. So this is going to take a turn here in a second. I do want to say that Larry McKee brings up the point that, you know, the agenda doesn't even seem to exactly cover what we're talking about, and you can only talk about the thing in the meeting that the agenda is supposed to cover. And so I don't think we should even be having this conversation.
Specifically on the agenda, attorney-client relationships specifically regarding litigation and representation is what the meeting's about tonight.
Correct.
Not to address what's gone on in previous meetings, not to dig into the case at hand, not to address anything that would be covered under attorney-client privilege is the way it sounds.
So is the meeting about hiring a new attorney, or is the meeting about the lawsuit? Because it's kind of ambiguous, again, the meeting of total uncertainty. And he's saying if it's about finding a new lawyer, well, we can't go and talk about, like, the shade meeting, all that, because that's unrelated. Casey Powell says, I still want to know. I want to waive privilege, and I want to hear. I want us to be able to say what was in the shade meeting.
The motion I had was to waive the attorney-client privilege when it comes to this case. I don't know. Now, that's my motion. It still stands. I think that the things that we've discussed in this case, including the shade meeting, should be released to the public. I think it should be public record at this point. The council made a decision. However that comes about happening, I still think that the public record should be released. I think we should waive the attorney-client privilege. That was my motion.
And we still don't have a vote on that just yet, and we don't even seem to have agreement about that, but Alex is telling them that's what you should do if you're going to talk about it. So we'll have to leave it there. Now, John, you watch this meeting. How's it going so far?
It's going good.
Am I wrong in saying that this was the meeting of total ambiguity where they couldn't even figure out what the meeting was about?
Right.
Or what they could say, or what they could vote on, or what they could do.
I was just sitting there amazed.
Same. So if you thought that having six members of the city council plus the mayor all be on the same page would just streamline everything, everything would be smooth and hunky-dory... not quite yet. So that's your act two. Act three yet to come. 625 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It only gets better.
Do you know how many people tell me when I talk to them and I just meet people on the street or out at an event, they're like, oh my God, Days of Our Milton, you kill me. If you had asked me, 15 years ago, Andrew, what we're going to do is we're going to move you to Florida. Mm-hmm. We're going to put you on the radio in the morning, and we're going to have you spend an inordinate amount of time talking about the city council meetings in a city of a few thousand people, and you're going to love it, and people are going to love it. I would have been, come on.
Yeah, right.
Come on. And yet here we are. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
And that's right. Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation, 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Still no accidents to report to you right now. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. If you're traveling on 98 eastbound just to east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to notice just maybe a little five-minute slowdown. Not much there. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I will say this. I do feel a little bit bad because Gavin Hawthorne and Casey Powell, who are the sort of, they've been on the board, okay? It makes it sound like all eight of them are a mess. I only can really definitely say that there are two of them that are a mess. And the new ones, it's kind of new. It's like we're trying to figure out where they're at. But one of them is definitely shown to be part of the problem so far. But you never know. People can change. So, I say the council. It's not all of them. It's just certain ones. But, these nuances sometimes get lost in a radio conversation.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for $10? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Pensacola Little Theater is excited to present The Play That Goes Wrong, a side-splitting comedy that follows the mishaps of the Cornley Polytechnic Drama Society as they endeavor to perform a murder mystery play titled The Murder on Heversham Manor. However, everything that can go wrong goes wrong, culminating in a hilarious spectacle that will keep the audience in stitches from beginning to end. The show will run from March 7th to March 16th. You can secure your tickets for the show online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the PLT box office.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow, but okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, along with Five Sisters renovations, The World is Your Oyster at Atlas Oyster House, and Toast to the Coast on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Contemplate this on the Tree of Woe.
Good morning, 629 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We're likely to have some fairly significant storming overnight tonight, so we're watching this system. It's all over the Midwest, all the way down to Dallas, up to Chicago right now, and it's coming here overnight tonight, so just be aware. I don't know if I can tell you to be prepared, but just, storm prep in general. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, New York Congressman Adriano Espaillat, who apparently will be giving the Democratic Spanish language response tonight to President Trump's joint address to Congress.
There's a big contingency out there in the country, throughout the country, that also wants to be heard. And so I'm glad to have been chosen that voice for that group of people.
And he is the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. He'll deliver that response right after the address tonight.
You forgot the third Democratic response. Representative Latifah Simon of California is going to give the response for progressives from the Working Families Party.
So many responses, so little time.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. 25% tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico took effect at midnight with no last-minute negotiations stopping it this time.
No room left for Mexico or for Canada. No, the tariffs, they're all set.
President Trump also imposing higher tariffs on Chinese imports. China and Canada have announced new tariffs on American imports in retaliation. President Trump addresses a joint session of Congress tonight.
He's going to talk about his second term accomplishments, the economy. Border security will get a high priority, as well as the president's peace plans. Several Democratic lawmakers say they plan to bring federal workers impacted by the DOGE layoffs. The Democratic response will be delivered, we are told, by Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan.
Fox's Kevin Cork. The speech is at 9 o'clock Eastern. The Senate confirms Linda McMahon as Education Secretary. She led the Small Business Administration during the first Trump term. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 49 degrees here in Pensacola. The National Weather Service also issuing a coastal flood warning for the entire area until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis announcing today that SpaceX is bringing its Starship launch operations to the state. That's expected to create about 600 new jobs on the Space Coast by 2030. The $1.8 billion investment will boost local employment and strengthen Florida's position as a key player in the space industry, with new facilities being constructed at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral. It's been a thrilling week for sailing enthusiasts in the area. The inaugural Foiling Week wrapped up after 7 days of racing and community events. 19 winners were crowned across various categories. In the Moth Fleet, Riley Gibbs took first place. Mika Dweck won the Wasp class. Other winners included Ravi Parent in the A-class, Catamaran, Ewan Dawson, and Ethan Johnson in the Birdie Fish, and Dylan Tompkin and Casey Small in Open Catamaran. The event marked the largest Wasp championship in North America and attracted competitors from around the world. Plans are already in the works for a return Foiling Week in 2026. A Florida economist chiming in on tariffs set to go into effect against Mexico and Canada this week. There are some worries the tariffs could be bad news for potential home buyers.
These things create uncertainty, and human beings don't like uncertainty. It hurts prices. We underestimate value. We overestimate cost, and we underestimate the likelihood of getting something done. So we pull back.
That is economist Dr. Ken Johnson, and he says if you are looking for a home and you haven't already locked in your mortgage, you might want to do it now. Additional taxes on imports of steel and aluminum take effect at the end of the month. The U.S. Navy Band is making a stop in Pensacola this month. They're continuing a cross-country tour to celebrate the Navy's 250th anniversary. A free concert is being held March 21st at the Sanger Theater in downtown Pensacola. You can get a free ticket at navyband.navy.mil. The Navy Band includes their concert band, Sea Chanters Chorus, and Cruisers Popular Music Group. They say you can expect a variety of musical selections, including traditional wind band repertoire, Broadway showstoppers, pop, and patriotic favorites. The Navy says the band tells the Navy's story and will instill patriotism and represent the professionalism of sailors across the world. Well, lawmakers are getting to work today in Tallahassee. The state legislative session begins with lawmakers focused on insurance reform. One bill requires insurance companies asking for a rate increase to file a report detailing where the money would go. Another bill calls for the state to release publicly what kind of compensation they receive and their company's profits. Another bill would dedicate more funding to the My Safe Florida Home program. That program gives residents up to $10,000 to make their homes more hurricane resistant. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Traffic on the Fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. One accident to let you know about are Marcus Point Boulevard and North W Street. We've got a crash with a roadblock in that area and starting to see some backups on, W Street. So just be aware of that. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly this morning. Even Highway 90 looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing those clouds increasing as breeze comes in as well. 72 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, showers and thunderstorms move in with a threat of severe weather. Temperatures dropping near 59 degrees through the overnight hours. On Wednesday, storms exiting the area by about 2 a.m. By Wednesday afternoon, 69 degrees with sunny skies. Overnight Wednesday, temperatures dropping near 46. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 52 degrees now in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, and 47 in Milton. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump's new 25% tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada, along with the doubling of duties on Chinese goods to 20%, have taken effect. The news of the tariffs moving forward as planned sent stocks plummeting yesterday, with the Dow dropping nearly 1.5%, the NASDAQ down 2.6%, and the S&P 500 down 1.7%. Canada said it will impose 25% tariffs on $107 billion worth of U.S. goods starting today if President Trump's administration follows through with its proposed tariffs on Canadian goods. That's according to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m., the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Mathnasium to the studio. If you have school-age children, please join us as Adana Elder will be here to enlighten us on the Mathnasium method. Mathnasium has a solution for students of all skill levels. At Mathnasium, they are changing lives through math. So don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. with Mathnasium.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm the founder of Offensive.
in Campo. I'll say we did not start offensive to start a camp for women. That kind of just happened. We started this to get Narcan out into the community. It would bring us into places like encampments, like Begs.
So this is actually almost a month ago now, but this was something I hadn't had a chance to cover yet. The offensive homeless camp for women, by everything that I have seen or heard, and I don't know them personally, I haven't reached out to them, but, you know, seems to be doing very good work. And they went to the county commission because apparently they're having some trouble with code enforcement. You know, and apparently the county is kind of saying, hey, you cannot do this because you're camping. And you can't do the camping the way they're trying to do it to help these women. And Brad Bishop is going to kind of explain what they do.
But with that, we came across a lot of women that needed a place to go. They needed to get into recovery. So we started going down the list. Some of them were even human trafficking victims, survivors. We went down the list of all the resources that say that they're for human trafficking survivors here in the county. Or here in the general vicinity, Circuit 1. It was all closed doors. It was all rejection. For many different reasons. Some could be mental health. Some could be the substance use. But still, there was nowhere to go.
And anytime you identify an underserved or needy, difficult, whatever, a population that has challenges that you're trying to help, you know, you do what you can, right?
One of the ladies just, after door was closed, said, can't I just put a tent in your backyard? Knowing that the other option is her put up a tent outside on the streets, if she had a tent, behind a dumpster, or on Murphy Lane, like most of us have heard about what's going on in Murphy Lane.
Murphy Lane is the one where all the people that got cleared off of Beggs Lane kind of migrated over to Murphy Lane. That's where the residents have been complaining for years about having homeless people basically in their way or harassing them. That's by the Washburn Center off of Brent and Palafox. And so he's like, look, you know, if you just need a place to stay and pitch a tent, we can do that. You know, we can provide for that, which, I mean, that's a very Christian thing to offer, right? That's a very kind, charitable, neighborly thing to offer.
First thought in my head is nobody wants to stay in a tent. But when faced with it, how am I going to say, no, you can't put up a tent back here? How silly does that sound to this individual who has to go back out there and figure out what to do? So we did not start this to buck the system. It was started out of necessity. There was nowhere to go.
Yeah, which is one of the key problems, but especially a problem for women and also women with children. I mean, you know, Waterfront is doing their thing. It's a sort of a small scale, but there's also, you know, restrictions and limitations associated with Waterfront. But for these women who just want to basically pitch a tent in somebody's backyard or on their land, I love what he's doing. Like, this is total compassion, right?
So we understand that you cannot sleep in a tent in Escambia County. The city has some...
Because you remember the ordinance, right? The state law that got passed, okay? And then the county has passed their ordinance to comply with that?
The city has some variance that allows for that. And I would like to ask the county if we could work together and maybe adopting some sort of variance that would allow a nonprofit to operate a small structure camp. Also, in the short term, we're asking that the county offer us some grace in working with the ladies that we're currently working with so that they don't have to get displaced in the meantime while we have this case management. What's left?
Yeah, we're kind of their last resort, or so it seems. We don't want to have to move them all out. And by the way, you remember the long problems that Satoshi Forest was having with the county over code enforcement and having the campground over there. Massachusetts is what I have in my head. That's off of Massachusetts, west of Palafox, which, you know, I went and visited there. And, you know, I'm sure the neighbors did not, like the subdivision neighbors in the vicinity did not love it. But it seemed to me like this is a really good idea, like trying to give a place for people where they can be safe and have some kind of a life and, you know, mind their own business and take care of stuff and leave possessions and all of that. Anyway, so Brad Bishop continues and talks about the number of women that they were working with.
We first got the violation. We had 13 women there. Right now there's 8. The rest have transitioned out. So not everybody's at the same point in their transition. And so we would ask that that y'all give us some grace and some time to work with them.
Which is a perfectly reasonable and appropriate thing to go to the county commission to ask them for. Jasmine Rivera, who apparently is either a worker, volunteer, something like that at the Camp Offensive. It's offensive with a T. That's why I keep saying it weird, if you're wondering. It's OFFENTSIVE.
I'm Jasmine Rivera with Offensive, and I'm here in regards to our Safe Women's Camp. We never intended on having a camp, but when the county came to us for help with the Beggs Lane closure, we discovered there was a huge need for a low-barrier women's camp. In doing so, we've been able to help many women stay safe, receive case management, and even help some have transitioned on already.
And we're doing a thing that's benefiting citizens, that's avoiding county cost, and does not cost the county anything.
In doing all this, we haven't costed the county any money, as we have done all our efforts on our own. Many of our women were constant victims of sexual assault, physical assault, and theft regularly. But at our camp, they are safe. They have access to cook their own food that's provided by Helping Hands and Feeding the Gulf Coast, access to laundry, shower, restroom, and most importantly, case management and resources for mental health and substance use.
And we are their last best hope for avoiding very, very difficult circumstances.
Ladies can't sleep anywhere else right now without getting arrested or stolen from them or assaulted. They have a safe place and a healing place at our camp. They deserve that. They deserve to be safe and to have a chance, and our camp does that. They aren't bothering anyone. They are on private property. They aren't in the community or camping anywhere they aren't wanted. They are working on themselves and bettering themselves, so if we can please work this out, whether it's rezoning or working with us till we can figure something out to where we don't have to put these vulnerable women back on the streets in harm's way, because the county doesn't want them on public property anyway. So please work with us so these women can have a chance they deserve.
Yeah, when they're camping with us, they're not camping on your territory. You're not having to bring the sheriff in to, you know, remove them from somewhere. We'll come back to this in a second, just for a minute, because I want to let you hear from some of the residents of the camp, because they showed up, which is exactly what you should do. Bring people and tell the story. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with that accident with injuries and roadblock that happened on Marcus Point Boulevard and North W Street. And I'm seeing W Street is backing up in both directions, both north and southbound. So just be aware of that. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even 98, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, has just maybe a 10 to 12 minute backup just due to congestion. But no other accidents to report. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the Camp Offensive, and which has had trouble with code enforcement from the county ever since, you know, the passage of the ordinance that restricts you against doing this kind of thing. And I'll just warn you in advance, if you got kids in the car, there's going to be some frank talk, okay, about kind of very unpleasant things, okay? But I think it's worth you hearing from, in this case, the victims. So just, you know, be aware if you'd rather not have that with your kids' ears on. I'd get it. I always think about the parents with kids and they're listening to the show, and, you know, just want to make sure that you have an opportunity to, you know, put me on pause or turn down the volume or whatever you want to do, if it's something you think maybe is not the best for your kid as you're driving to school. I just don't think it's my right to impose on your 8-year-old, you know, something that you may not be eager to have them hear. So with that warning in mind, here's Michelle Carpenter.
Offensive found me when I was choked out and I had been raped. I was out in the front of a store, and one of the workers there, her name was Miranda, she came and asked what was happening, and I told her. She took a chance of losing her job at the store, keeping me out front. She called Offensive because she had been there. They called an Uber, and they got me right away and got me out of there and brought me to Offensive. I've been there. Unfortunately, I went to help a friend the other day, and I ended up being kept, and I ended up getting beat again. But they came to my rescue again, so they got to stay. I got no place to go.
It's just hard for most, what I'll just call ordinary, you work, you've got kids, you're a homeowner, or you rent, citizen, to just think for a second about some of the things that people really do deal with. And, I mean, it's atrocious. You know, she says kept, but she means kidnapped. Like, she was kept against her will, right? This is a woman who said her name was Regina Lack, I think it was.
I'm very thankful about having places like this to go to. It might have a tent in the backyard, but you got your own little private little area to sleep in and everything. You share the same toilets and the shower and the kitchens and stuff like that. We all kind of work together, and I'm really thankful for it, because before we found that place, we were sleeping on the sidewalk. And I'm telling you, that's very uncomfortable when you're having to try and find a tree or a bush to go use the bathroom and everything. I mean, it's embarrassing to talk about, but you've got to do it. And this place provides that for us. So I don't want it shut down. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's bothering anybody. It's all fenced in and enclosed. We all try and work together. And I just like to say we like to keep it.
And when I hear these stories and I hear Brad talking about what they're doing, I think we've got to figure out a way to let this be. It seems like it is solving a problem. It is helping people in need. And especially, look, I think we all, at least many of us, I know I do, share this view that, you know, when it comes to men, I have sympathy but less. You know, when it comes to women, I have maximum, and children, maximum sympathy. Because they're in a particularly precarious position. And look, I get it. If you're a neighborhood, like in a subdivision, you know, or you're a business owner, the things that you've seen, and we've heard stories about people, you know, defecating and having sex and being naked and doing drugs and all this stuff in public, it's disgusting and vulgar. I mean, I get it. I'm with you. But where do they go to do that stuff? You know, don't do it here isn't an answer. You know, can we not find some way to provide the ability to live? And I understand that a lot of the answers to that question are sort of unpalatable. But in this particular case, it seems to me like you've got willing people filling a need, solving a problem. It doesn't cost the county. All they're asking for is just don't force us to shut down. You know, literally, that's all they're asking for. So maybe find a way to not shut them down. Because they seem to me to be doing God's work. I don't know if they're preaching the gospel or not, but they're doing the gospel. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Businesses come in all shapes and sizes. Integrity doesn't. For more than a century, the Better Business Bureau has set the standards for how businesses should operate honestly and ethically. So when you're looking for a business you can trust, check to see who's BBB accredited and who isn't. Always choose the better business. Look for the BBB seal, because it's looking out for you. That's why it's the sign of a better business. And find a better business anytime at BBB.org.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
What kind of beer do you like? Heineken. Heineken! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
So, you know, I have been very critical of President Trump for this idiotic Gulf of America thing, and then punishing the AP for not saying it, and then Florida is now working on changing all of our standards to align with the Gulf of, not Mexico,
America.
And all of this, okay, well, especially because these are people who have previously criticized the language changing, you know, the wokeness kind of, you know, cancel culture, which is all predicated on that. It's changing the language and getting it right and whatever. And it's funny to me how people who previously would criticize those things when it was against their, like, political agenda are now in favor of those things when it favors your agenda. No, 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 no. Part of the political agenda is to be against right naming, is to be against name changes and doing all of this terminology manipulation in order to get some perception outcome. Well, we have at least two very interesting stories in the news. Number one is, have you seen what Texas is doing?
No.
This is simultaneously the funniest and most insane thing ever. What kind of steak do you like? What's your favorite steak?
Oh, that's got to be ribeye.
Oh, okay. All right. I like a little bit meatier steak. A ribeye's
I know what you're talking about now.
Okay, we have tenderloins and we have ribeyes and we have chuck steak.
And a good one.
They don't call it a strip. It's a
New York strip.
Right. It's a New York strip because you have a restaurant in New York that coined that phrase a long time ago, and apparently that stuck. Well, and in Texas, they're like, what kind of cattle do they have in New York? It's our cattle. And you damn well better believe that we are going to call it a Texas strip. So the governor, I think, is the one leading this charge to name change for the Texas strip steak instead of the New York strip steak. Now, one wonders whether we're going to try to have, like, New York Hold'em poker, you know?
Oh.
Or, you know, Oklahoma tea for oil. I mean, you know, at least Texas has oil wells. It just, everybody stop. Well, you know, Trump opened the floodgates. Why not? And the governor's like, I'm going to take a nice sailing trip across the Gulf of America, and I'm going to meet with the president. We're going to talk about the Texas strip steak. I'm like, oh, my God, it is Orwell come to life. It's insanity what people are doing. And that's not the only one, by the way. We'll get to more in a minute. Let's see. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Marcus Point and North W Street. Seeing some backups on north and southbound on W Street. About a 15 to 20 minute delay there. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Still seeing some about a 5 minute delay on 98 just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. But Highway 90 is looking good. Even Avalon is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
All right, thanks so much. John, David Wayne's got our headlines in the newsroom. David?
I'll keep it brief so we can get back to your thoughts on the renaming wars of 2025.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Just keep the words. I just feel like I need to wear a shirt that says, keep the words.
President Trump is ordering a pause to all military aid to Ukraine. In a statement, a White House official said Trump has been clear that he's focused on peace. The statement went on to say the U.S. is pausing and reviewing aid to ensure it's contributing to a solution. The man that was accused of a deadly Illinois July 4th parade shooting in 2022 has changed his plea to guilty. Robert Cremo III, his change of plea comes as opening statements were set to begin in his trial yesterday. And the theme for tonight's address to the joint session of Congress has been announced. It is the renewal of the American dream. A White House official says the president will focus on his record, the economy, border security, and his plan for global peace. That starts at 8 o'clock Central, and there are about 18,000 responses scheduled after, so we don't need to go over all of those.
Road, renewal of the American dream, road.
Ah, yes.
It's going to be a road speech. Okay. So back to the great naming wars of 2025. The governor of Texas wants to call it the Texas strip steak because, you know, it doesn't want to undercut the value that you should be given to the great Texas ranchers. You also now have, we kind of have mentioned this, but like it's Fort Hood and, you know, Fort Bragg again, right? Okay. Which you may or may not have realized, but yeah, they've gone back, you know, Pete Hegseth is now renamed and Fort Moore has been scrapped. Okay. So that was one of the, like the in between names. But it's not Fort Bragg for the original person, Fort Bragg. It's a Fort Bragg for a completely different person who got, like, some junior officer or whatever that got awards. And it's also Fort Benning. But it's no longer for Confederate Henry Benning. It's for Corporal Fred Benning, who earned valor and the Distinguished Service Cross. So they're returning to the name, but with different namesakes.